Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be together here again today. Looking forward to an excellent afternoon. We're just coming up on the weekend and looking forward to some really great time off. Summer's here. The weather's great. Canada Day's not far off. But today, it's Ask an Advisor Friday. So today, we are going to look at your question. And so today we picked a particular question that we get quite often. And it stems a lot from people, particularly people who are inclined to follow Dave Ramsey or the Financial Peace University or some of those folks. But you'll hear it talked about by everybody who gives advice on how to manage your personal finances. And they all say you need to have an emergency fund, which you certainly do. And then people are always wondering, well, where should I put that emergency fund? So we're going to talk about that today. Before we get started, we want to thank our sponsor for today. It is the Simple Plan Life Insurance. You can get quotes from all major Canadian insurers, free, no obligation, on their website at getthesimpleplan.com/quotes. You can also calculate how much life insurance coverage you should have at getthesimpleplan.com/how much. And it has never been a better time to get life insurance. Rates are lower than they've ever been. They're probably going to start going up in the next 6 months or so. Also, because of the pandemic, and here's one of those small mercies that comes from that, for most people who are getting term life insurance, you don't have to have anyone come visit you. No paramedical nurse, no blood draw, no urine sample, none of that stuff. All done online, easily, simply, and quickly. It's never been a better time to get that. Also, we have a helpful article today for folks that are getting started with investing. This is a real primer. It's for those who are just starting out. It's called The ABCs of Investing in Under 5 Minutes. And you can get it at bit.ly/ABC5mins. And that's all caps. So bit.ly/ABC5mins, all capital letters. So thanks very much for joining us today. And as I said, we are going to look at what you should be doing with your emergency fund. My name's Brad Macbeth. I'm a licensed financial advisor. I've been doing this for about 18, 19 years now, I guess. We serve clients, we serve families all across Canada who are looking to get their lives on track financially and stay on that track. Okay, so let's talk a bit about this emergency fund thing. What is it about? And what are some of the principles we use in order to manage our emergency fund? So I'm not going to discuss today, we'll do it another time, how much you should have in your emergency fund. But, you know, it's somewhere in the realm of, you know, 3 to 6 months of expense money to keep your boat floating in times of emergency. And I dare say that we are more acutely aware of emergencies that can come along unplanned than ever before. You know, I keep saying to people, listen, if someone had told me in December what things were going to look like in June of 2020, we probably would have said that they needed to seek psychiatric help. And yet here we are, never imagining a lot of these things, which has turned into an emergency for a fair number of families financially. So the first thing to know about your emergency fund, and this really governs your thinking more than anything, is your emergency fund is a form of insurance. You're self-insuring in this case, but it is insurance. It is not an investment. And so this is where some of the mistakes get made is people, because it can be a substantial amount of money, if we're talking 3 to 6 months of expense money, depending on the level that you live at financially, you know, maybe it's going to be less than $10,000, but for some, it could push toward $40,000 or $50,000. And when you start getting significant sums of money happening, people start to think, I should be investing. What kind of return am I getting on this? And so this is not an investment. This is not money that we want to be investing, and we're going to look at why. So that's the first principle. Next, we want it to be easily accessible. Emergencies arise and you don't know how quickly you're going to need the money. You know, watch the news any night. You can find out somebody's house burned down. That's certainly an emergency that can come along and cause great havoc in someone's life. And where having access to some ready cash is a big help. So we want that to be easily accessible. That means we need to be able to get our hands on it in a timely manner. And now it doesn't all have to be, you know, sitting in a cash box under our beds. You might have some that is sitting in a readily accessible savings account. You don't need all 3 to 6 months worth of expense money available that quickly, but you want to be able to get at it within a few days, no matter what. And we're going to look at some options that can do those kinds of things. Next, we want there to be no risk of decrease. This emergency fund, what did we say at the beginning? It's insurance, not an investment. If you can remember that phrase more than anything else, it will help guide you in what to do with your emergency fund. It is insurance. It is insurance, not an investment. We're not looking for returns. What else isn't it? It's also not a slush fund. It's insurance. So it's not a slush fund to say, well, this thing came up and now I need to go on this vacation or travel here, there, or gosh, it's such a great sale to buy this particular thing. It's insurance. You don't want to compromise or undermine your insurance. One of those things is you want there to be no risk of decrease. One of the general principles when investing is that the greater potential return, the greater risk you're taking. And so we're living in times where if you're not taking any risk, that is, you have some guaranteed form of return on your investment or on your money, you're not getting much of a return, and that's troubling people. But first and foremost, we want there to be no risk of decrease. Okay, so that brings us to a particularly interesting topic. People often ask, should I put it in my TFSA or my tax-free savings account? We're going to have a great episode soon on tax-free savings accounts. They're one of the greatest tools people have for managing their finances, also widely misunderstood. But we'll leave that for another day. So the principle, if you're thinking about putting your emergency fund inside a tax-free savings account, the question is why? And the only sensible answer would be, well, so that the little bit of money I might make from that money sitting there isn't taxed. And that's a reasonable answer. And so here's the principle you should apply if you're looking at putting it inside a tax-free savings account. Only do that if your tax-free savings account isn't already full with long-term investments. So that's what your tax-free savings account is for. It's for your long-term investing. Now, if you're getting started out in investing, it may be that your TFSA is not yet full, but it should get full. It should fill up. And but if you still have some room in it, well, then sure, go ahead and put your emergency fund in there. But don't let your emergency fund take away room from where your investments should be, because the tax advantages of the TFSA are very powerful and you want them applied to the areas where you're making the most growth on your money, which is in your investments, not in your emergency fund, which is a form of insurance, and we're not taking any risks with it. Okay. Now, if you are going to put it in a TFSA, you can have multiple tax-free savings accounts, multiple TFSAs, so keep it in a separate one. Don't commingle your investment money and your emergency fund so that it starts to get a little uncertain which is which. Keep it in a separate TFSA account. All right. Now, let's switch gears here and look at, let me just get that here. All right. So let's switch gears here. And we're going to take a look at where things are at from a rates and returns point of view these days. So let's switch this. Hang on. All right. So we want to look at if we're looking for rates, you know, so now we know we're in the realm of things like savings account, GICs, if it's not locked in, I suppose, and there are some of those, that kind of thing. So let's, one of my favorite tools, there's lots of them out there, but I go to ratehub.ca. Ratehub.ca generally has accurate and up-to-date information on what's happening with interest or rates of return that you can expect from different types of savings accounts and such in Canada. Now, the interesting thing is, I like this particular tool. And you know what? I will put that in the chat for now and send it out to everybody. Where is that chat? I'll put it in the chat for now, and then we will send it out. There is no chat. I'm so used to Zooming. I forget I'm not in Zoom. So I will post that after the fact. Let me put it. Yeah, we'll take care of that. So ratehub.ca, if you go there, look for savings accounts. So you can see here, these first few are sponsored, featured, something or other. I don't know what the difference is between sponsored and featured. So, you know, take those with a bit of a grain of salt. But you can see that there are different rates of return. Those rates of return are over here on the left side. But the interesting number is this, because some of them are a little gimmicky or they have different structures to them, what you want to look at is, what's the first year return I'm going to get from this thing? Now, if your money's going to be there a long time, you need to look at, well, what's it going to be like in the second year too? But so you see here, we've got first year return. This is on, I'm doing some research, so I set it to Winnipeg. I'll put it back to Kelowna, my part of the world. Here we go. It doesn't make that much difference. This first year return is what you can expect from whatever amount you've put here. So maybe your emergency fund's $5,000. We'll put $5,000 there. And so I'm looking for the high interest savings account. You can opt for TFSA. I'm going to show you another site that looks at that as well. So when we look at this, we see, well, here's the different return you can expect on this. So we're going to some trouble to go into this type of an account, but you know, we're getting something out of it. So as we scroll down, you see we move out of the featured and we just get into the basic listings. So Manulife Bank Advantage account is 1.5%, different places, and then pretty quickly they run into the really ugly stuff that you get at the banks generally, you know, 0.2%, 0.05%. A mighty 0.01% on the e-premium savings account. I have no idea why those even exist, but or why anybody would put money in them. But anyway, maybe there's reasons. So now some of these are laddered accounts. So for example, if we look at this tangerine here, the little red fine print, it's after 177 days, the rate drops from 2.5% down to 0.25%. So yes, in the first year you get $134, but every year after that, you'd only be getting $25 on your $10,000. So this is a great place to go and look at what's available. Well, I haven't done this, so we're going to take a look here at, what does it tell us for the TFS? Because maybe this is, oh, there you go. So one of the things about a TFSA account about a high interest savings account is a lot of places that offer high interest savings accounts don't allow them to be in a registered fund. So they're not allowed to be in a TFSA or an RRSP. And you will notice that the list is pretty short here. I have a longer list I'm going to show you of the different institutions that offer rates in TFSA. So you've got Alterna Bank at 1.69, Tangerine at 2.5, but again, that's only for the first 177 days, and then it drops to 0.25. You've got Steinbach Credit Union, which I think you can set up an account with them online, and there's other credit unions you might find in that boat, and then again, we drop into the lousy rates after that. You know, I'll be completely straight with you. As an advisor, this is one of the problems, one of the areas we're challenged in, is I don't have access to an advisor-managed account that I can help people with, like setting it up for them and making it part of all their portfolio that gets these kinds of rates. Most of what we have access to is less than 1%. It's annoying. Even when we say, listen, we don't want any fees off it or anything else, it's not available. So that's just how it is. So generally, you probably have to set these up on your own. Your advisor might be able to give you some direction on it, but they're probably not going to be able to help you set it up, unfortunately. Okay, so here's another comparison chart. This is at highinterestsavings.ca. Now, RateHub, I know about, and they've been around a long time. I'm not endorsing them in a big way. I'm just saying they're a known quantity, and I've used them, and they seem fairly reliable. This one, highinterestsavings.ca, I just found today, in fact, as I was doing research for this. But it does have a good comprehensive listing here. So you see here, they show rates. That would be for your basic open savings account. But they have a TFSA rate, and they have it from a lot more sources. So we see, again, there's Alterna Bank at 1.69%, Accelerate Financial, Canadian Tire. I think if we go down, People's Trust. Now, some of these I know, like I've heard of Oaken. I certainly know People's Trust. Don't know Motive. They're the highest TFSA rate at 2.05%. EQ Bank is here. Oh, they don't. That's right. They don't have a TFSA. So anyway, your mileage may vary and you need to do your own homework. Notice here, this is the thing that you want to make sure is that you have insurance, whether it's CDIC or CIPF. CDIC stands for Canadian Deposit Insurance Corporation. CIPF, I believe, is insurance system funded, because CDIC is for the banks. But they're basically the same things. They assure that you will get paid your money if something happens to that financial institution, up to a certain limit. It's a pretty high limit, but you want to check into all that. You want to make sure that you're working with an insured account in an insured institution. So I went and checked out People's Trust, and this is their website, peoplestrust.com. I happen to know them because I'm a native British Columbian, and I spend a lot of time in Vancouver, and they're a Vancouver financial institution. So they currently pay 2% on tax-free savings accounts, just in a basic savings account. That is a great rate. There's only one paying more, one paying 2.05, and they're certainly the most well-known institution that are paying that level. Now, one that a lot of people have been using lately, and these folks were offering a rate over 3% not too long ago till our interest rates plummeted, and that is EQ Bank. And EQ Bank has, again, a lot of people are using it, and they're paying 2%. They do not have a TFSA version. So if you're not putting it in a TFSA, they're fine. If you're looking to put it in a TFSA because you happen to have that room remaining, remember, then fine. You'll have to go elsewhere. Now, a few things to keep in mind about all these institutions. They're all virtual. That is, none of them have branches. You're not going to be able, well, People's Trust may be different. I'm not sure about that. But most of them, you're not going to be able to walk into. You can't walk into. There might be the odd Tangerine branch here and there. There might be the odd Manulife bankish type location in a couple of cities. But these are virtual banks. They're online. So you need to be comfortable with that there is no physical location to what they're doing. And so that means you're setting it up online. You have to connect it usually with another bank account, and you may have to provide credit card information that they use as a form of identification using the credit bureaus to set up these accounts. Some of them are easy to set up. Some of them are painful to set up. So you really just have to kind of shop around and figure out which one you want. Now, because they are virtual banks, some of them you can get your money in and out through bank machines. So they're on those systems. So for example, Tangerine, you can use, they're associated with Scotiabank, I believe, just the same way that Simplii is associated with CIBC. And you can go to, with Tangerine, you can go to the Scotiabank machines, use those machines, and just like they were a Tangerine machine, and you won't pay fees for doing so on some of your transactions, depending on the type of account you have. So you can actually get cash or deposit cash there for some of them. But for many of them, like EQ Bank, for example, there is no way to directly access your money from them. So you get what you're doing is they're a bank that you're holding your money at, but you have to transfer it from there to another institution. Or you may be able to email it. Some of them are on the Interac e-transfer system, so you could email money to yourself and deposit it in another bank. But you will usually have directly connected another bank account to this particular bank. And so ultimately you probably want, and of course in pandemic world right now, we're using cash much less than we ever have before, and that was already diminishing rapidly. So maybe you don't care that much about cash, but I'm a big advocate of using cash, and we use cash a lot. So you want to make sure that you're going to have easy access if you need some. Because sometimes these bank transfers, and they are getting faster, but sometimes they might take 2 or 3 days. So let's say, for example, you're using one of these, like an EQ bank, and maybe it takes, from the time you initiate the transfer, it takes 2 business days to go from EQ bank into your Simply account or your Tangerine account or your BMO account or whatever, where you can go to the bank or the bank machine and get the cash, then you need to allow for that. So you don't want to have 100% of your emergency cash at an institution that it might take you a couple of days for the money to move. Now, those things are changing all the time. I'm not keeping track of them. I'm just giving you the ideas of what you want to be looking for so that you can get a sense of what's the right setup for you. For me personally, I use the virtual banks. I don't bank with a major Canadian bank, not with any of the big brand names. I use some of their subsidiaries, but I only use the virtual banks because I don't like paying bank fees. And so I don't. I pay no bank fees. You know, there are some minor inconveniences, like if I want to send a bank draft or a money order, I have to arrange that somehow. And you can, but again, it takes a bit of time. So that's kind of the lowdown on where you want to put your emergency funds. And so just to step through again those few thoughts, let me switch back here. Did I close that? There we go. All right. Remember, it's insurance, not an investment. You want it to be easily accessible, no risk of decrease. You may put it in a TFSA if you have not yet maxed out your TFSA for your investments. But first and foremost, you should be putting your long-term investment money inside that TFSA rather than your emergency fund. Because the only thing that's going to do is give you a little bit of tax sheltering from, but you know, we're talking about paying, let's say, 25% tax on your $400 of interest. That's going to cost you $100 if it's not in a tax shelter like a TFSA. But, you know, that's a whole other kettle of fish compared to having, you know, $50,000 worth of investments growing at 8% a year, experiencing the tax sheltering inside the tax-free savings account. So you want to have your long-term investing money inside your TFSA. But by all means, if you have some room, you can put your emergency fund in there, put it in a separate account so you can keep track of it completely. So that's what I wanted to say about that today. By all means, follow me on Facebook at Macbeth Group. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram. Again, today's helpful article to help you out with your thinking. It's just a basic article on the ABCs of investing in under 5 minutes, the core things that you'll want to be thinking about to know at bit.ly/ABC5mins, that's all caps, bit.ly/ABC5mins, all caps. Thanks again to our sponsor, the Simple Plan Life Insurance. You can find get your free quote, no obligation, from all major Canadian insurers at getthesimpleplan.com/quotes, or calculate how much life insurance you really should be carrying at getthesimpleplan.com/how much. If you've got life insurance now, I encourage you, because prices have really dropped over the last few years, go and check it out. Go and get yourself a quote. You'll find out whether you might be able to save some money over the next years. All right. Thanks very much. It was great being with you today. I'm Brad Macbeth of The Simple Plan, and we'll be back live again on Tuesday. We'll see you then.